pretty things. But because you keep feeding them, they keep growing. 18. Nahang akamandalavasmin kritram vastu ihotsahe kalpayauka suvipulam yatraham nivase sukham. My dear king, I do not like living in this water pot with such great difficulty. Therefore, please find some better reservoir of water where I can live comfortably. So enam tata adaya nyadhad audancha nodake tatra kshipta muhurtena hastatrayam avardhata. Then, taking the fish out of the water pot, the king threw him in a large well. But within a moment, the fish developed to the length of 3 cubits. Any of you know what a cubit is? How long a cubit is? Any grown-ups know? Ah, yes, sir. That's the biblical cubit. I looked it up. I had to look it up. It's been a long time since I've read the Bible. How long was Noah's Ark? 50 cubits or something? No, must have been longer than that. Doesn't seem very big. How are you going to get... From the elbow to the tip of your finger. That's the biblical. Actually, the word here, that's what a cubit is. Prabhupada is roughly using a cubit here. The word here actually is hasta. And the only actual measurement I could find for hasta, Pushkar? Well, it's one of the translations, one of the uses of the word hasta is hand. There are two ways to measure a hasta. One is 24 finger widths. So I guess it would be almost 5 hands if you were like measuring a horse. And the other is 1/5 the height of a man standing with his arms stretched up. This would not, well, neither would the cubit. None of these would actually pass muster with the Bureau of Weights and Standards, or whatever they're called nowadays. And it would certainly probably provide some ammunition for the go-metric people who every once in a while make some noise but haven't been able to get up any steam in the U.S. They keep talking about it. They start and stop. We seem a little stubborn. We don't exactly go with a lot of the really inexact measurements that we're used to. We have inches and feet and stuff like that, and we like it, and we seem attached to it. So a cubit is the length from the elbow to the arm. Now, it may be about, I tried it, and I don't think I have quite 24 finger widths in the length of my arm. Now, Lord Chaitanya was described as 5 cubits, right? No. How many cubits? 7 cubits, which is quite tall, because this is like 20 inches, so he was like 15 feet tall. So anyway, that's what a hasta or cubit is. It's a topic of discussion. Text 20. Nama etadalam rajan sukham vastum udanchanam pratu dehi padam mahyam yatvaham sharanam gata. The fish then said, "My dear king, this reservoir of water is not fit for my happy residence. please give me a more extensive pool of water, for I have taken shelter of you. 21. Tata adaya saragya triptarajan sarovare tara vrityatmana soyam mahamino namahanino vramvardhata. Maharaj Parikit, the king took the fish from the well and threw him in a lake. But the fish then assumed a gigantic form exceeding the extent of the water. What are we feeding this fish? Naitan me swastaye rajan udakam shalilaukashaha nidhehi raksha yogena hrade mam avidasini. The fish then said, O king, I'm a large aquatic, and this water is not at all suitable for me. Now kindly find some way to save me. It would be better to put me in the water of a lake that will never reduce. Well, now this is a problem these days. With global warming and all the weather patterns changing, we see so many lakes nowadays that are many meters lower. That actually we see many lakes, old-time lakes that are just dried up. Some lakes that are so large that they're called seas, that are so dried up that you've got cracks in the mud that are a couple of feet, you know, like a foot or so between, you know, in the cracks. So this would be a problem nowadays. 24. Kshipyamanas tamahedam ihamam makaradaya adantyati balavira mam nehot srashtu marhasi. While being thrown in the ocean, the fish said to King Satyavrata, O hero, in this water, there are very powerful and dangerous sharks that will eat me. Therefore, you should not throw me in this place. 25. Evang vimohitastena vratavel gubharatim tamaha ko bhavanasman matsyarupena mohayam. After hearing these sweet words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a fish, the king, being bewildered, asked him, Who are you, sir? You simply bewilder us. Naivam viryo jalacharo drishto smabhi shruto piva yo bhavanyo janashatam abnabhivyanase saraha. My lord, in one day you've expanded yourself for hundreds of miles, covering the water of the river and the ocean. Before this I had never seen nor heard of such an aquatic animal. And 27. Nunam tvam bhagavan shakshad dharir narayano vyayaha anugrahaya bhutanam dhatse rupam jalaukasan. My lord, you are certainly the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan Sri Hari. It is to show your mercy to the living entities that you have now assumed the form of an aquatic. Om Jnana Timiran Vasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Maha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langhayate Girim Jatkripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschati Deshitarine Anchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhobhya Evacha Putitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So there are no purports, so that gives a wild man like me all kinds of leeway. There is an opening for me to do one of my Sharanagati rants, where the Matsya Avatar says to King Satyavrata that I've taken shelter of you. This isn't working. I'm cramped, I'm going to die, I'm going to drown here, but I've taken shelter of you, you need to give me some accommodation that's going to work. So I won't go the usual place with that, because There's something a little more evocative, I think, in the last verse, last couple of verses. Satyavrata looks at Matsyavatara and he says, "Who are you anyway? There's no way you can be anyone except the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who else can do such an extraordinary thing as to grow so many times in just a day? I mean, overnight he filled the water, the first fish bowl, and that wasn't working. So this is a certainly extraordinary thing." So he says, "It's certainly to show your mercy to the living entities that you've now assumed the form of an aquatic." Now, Satyavrata had undertaken a simple thing. He'd given this fish shelter, put him in a water pot, in a fish bowl, so that he'd have a place to live. But that didn't work out very well. So it turned out to be a real challenge for him. He thought it would be a simple thing. Put the fish in a bowl, and he'll be okay. He should be happy. Instead, it turned out to be an enormous, headache. And I was thinking, I remember once when in San Diego, I used to take care for maybe 9 years or so. I took care of the temple's Govardhan Shila, Giri Govardhan. And every once in a while, things would be a little challenging back in the Pujari room. Things wouldn't be where they were supposed to be. And I would get a little cranky. And I would complain to the Pujari or sometimes to Padre Narayan, who's kind of a very hands-on GBC. "I'm doing the puja here. I'm not out on Sankirtan. This is supposed to be some sort of mellow meditation. This is me, my wishful thinking." And I thought, well, actually, maybe Giri Raj is forcing me to surrender a little bit, just to kind of chill out and yield to the puja in whatever form it should take. So Satyavrata has the same kind of situation here. He's just taking care of a fish, but it turns into an enormous project. So he concludes, "You have to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it's out of your mercy. It's out of mercy for the fallen souls that you appear in this world." And I was thinking, it's out of mercy for the fallen souls that the Lord appears in the world in any form. And particularly when he appears in his mercy incarnation. Audarya Bhavan, Madhurya Bhavan, pop quiz. Name, which article should I use? Name the mercy incarnation of God. Anybody? Let me see a hand. Varshana. Lord Chaitanya, yes. If you look for mercy incarnation, you'll find Lord Chaitanya. But are there any others? Krishangi. Pardon? Ramchandra. I don't remember seeing that particularly with Ramchandra. But you're in the right neighborhood. Ram, yes. But which Ram? Bala Ram. That's a hint. No, Bali, you're not going to bite? Not going for the bait? All right, Purushottama. Since it's Purushottama Mas. Pardon? Oh, Buddha? Actually, Buddha, yeah, actually he's very merciful. He came to save the meat eaters, actually, by stop. But that's not the one I have in mind. The hint I was giving was in Bali's name. Nimai? Well, I was thinking in the name that we used to know Bali by when he was really little, before we gave him nicknames, before everybody was giving him nicknames. Raja? Balaram! Yes. Who's come out of his mercy, is coming here with his little brother. The Supreme Personality of God has a big brother? Yeah. Coming here with his little brother to give his mercy to the fallen souls. If you look up mercy incarnation of... this is going somewhere. If you look up mercy of incarnation of the Lord, you'll find Balaram. And there's a really nice passage in the 14th chapter of the first canto. This is after This is the chapter is the disappearance of Lord Krishna. And Maharaj Yudhisthira notices all sorts of inauspicious omens. There's a whole catalog of inauspicious omens that he recites. And then Arjuna shows up completely, can I use a vernacular? Okay. Completely freaked out, frankly. Just completely devastated. He's just, he just doesn't know what to do with himself. And of course everybody's looking, oh, Arjuna's here. He's just been with Krishna. This is great. This is cool. We're going to have news of the Lord. This is really something. And Arjuna doesn't look happy. He's completely devastated. And all of a sudden Yudhisthira just gets really unhappy. So he starts asking a bunch of questions. Oh, I couldn't find a current edition of it. First canto, third volume, so I had to, I was afraid that it might not be here, so I brought mine from home. Fortunately or unfortunately, it's an original Delhi one, so I was going to read the verses leading up to this. So he asks, my dear brother, please tell me whether our friends or relatives, such as Madhubhoja, Dashara, Arha, Saptata, and Dandaka, and the members of the Yadu family, are all passing their days well in happiness. Is my respectful grandfather Shurasena in a happy mood? And my maternal uncle, along with his other brothers, all doing well? His seven wives, headed by Devaki, personally all our sisters themselves, are they all in happiness along with their sons and daughters-in-law? Whether Ugrasena, whose mischievous son Kamsa, is still living along with his younger brother Devaka, whether Hridik, along with sons Kritavarma, Akrura, Jayanta, Gada, Sharna, and Satrajit are all happy. And then he asks, how is Balaram, the personality of Godhead and the protector of the devotees? And it's a really nice purport. Srila Prabhupada says, Hastinapur, the capital of the Pandavas, was situated somewhere near the present New Delhi, and the kingdom of Ugrasena was situated in Mathura. While returning to Delhi from Dwarka, Arjuna must have visited the city of Mathura. Therefore, the inquiry about the king of Mathura is valid. Amongst the various names of relatives, the names of Ram or Balaram, the eldest brother of Lord Krishna, is added with the words, the personality of Godhead. Because Lord Balaram is the immediate expansion of Vishnu Tattva as Prakash Vigraha of Lord Krishna. The Supreme Lord, although one without a second, expands himself and is many other living in... expands himself as many other living beings. The Vishnu Tattva living beings are expansions of the Supreme Lord, and all of them are qualitatively and quantitatively equal with the Lord. But expansions of the Jiva Shakti, the category of the ordinary living beings, are not at all equal with the Lord. One who considers the Jiva Shakti and the Vishnu Tattva to be on an equal level is considered a condemned soul of the world. Sri Ram or Balaram is the protector of the devotees of the Lord. Balaram acts as a spiritual master of all devotees, and by his causeless mercy, the fallen souls are delivered. Sri Baladev appeared as Nityananda Prabhu during the advent of Lord Chaitanya, and the great Lord Nityananda Prabhu exhibited his causeless mercy by delivering a pair of extremely fallen souls, namely Jagai and Madhai. Therefore, it is particularly mentioned herein that Balaram is the protector of the devotees of the Lord. By his divine grace only, one can approach the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, and thus Sri Balaram is the mercy incarnation of the Lord, manifested as the spiritual master, the savior of the pure devotees. And so we see that the mercy of incarnation of the Lord is Lord Balaram, and he particularly appears as the spiritual master, the savior of the pure devotees. And in a talk he gave in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada explains the importance, the central position of the spiritual master in spiritual life. He says, becoming a Vaishnava is not so easy thing because it is transcendental to the brahminical quality, but it is very easy. And he says, yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita yarta prakashante mahatma. This is from the Shvetasvatara Upanishad. which it means that only to those great souls who have the same complete faith in their spiritual master that they have in the Lord are all the imports of the Vedic scriptures revealed. So Srila Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Charitamrita has said that you can make advancement in spiritual life by the mercy of Krishna and Guru. You don't try to overlap Guru to get Krishna's mercy. That is not possible. That is not possible. Emphasis means, I mean, repeating means emphasis, right? You have to go through the proper channel. Anyone who is thinking that I shall make spiritual advancement without Guru, he's wrongly thinking. It is not possible. There's your third time. Just like you want to see a big man, you have to go through the servant of that man. You have to take permission. The servant may say, sir, such and such a man wants to see you. He's a very nice man, appears to be a good man. Oh, the master says, he's a good man? All right, bring it. By recommendation of the servant, therefore we sing daily, yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadah. By the mercy of the guru, immediately we become, get the mercy of God. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadah, yasya prasadam nagati putopi. If the guru is not satisfied, then nagati putopi. He has no gati. Gati means advancement. Therefore this guru, gurvashtak, samsara dava anala, we have to sing. So God's incarnation, here it is said, there are so many incarnations, so Guru is also incarnation of God. Mercy, incarnation of God. So the spiritual master is himself the mercy incarnation of God. So it's incumbent on anybody interested in really advancing in spiritual life to take shelter of a spiritual master. Now, how important is that? And just what do we mean by taking shelter of the spiritual master? Well, actually, Srila Prabhupada, actually we find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that the order of the spiritual master is, as Srila Prabhupada puts it, the active principle in spiritual life. This is a verse where the Lord says, Acharya Matta Jay Se Matta Sar, Tara Gyai Lagi Chale, Seita Asar. So he says, Acharya Matta Jay Se Matta Sar. The spiritual master's opinion, the spiritual master's order, is the active principle in spiritual life. The Bengali, actually Sanskrit word, is sar, or essence. So the essential point in spiritual life is the order of the spiritual master. That's the catalyst. That's what makes everything work. When I was young, I used to patch surfboards because my friends and I used to go surfing in places where there was a lot of coral in Hawaii. So we were always getting dings in our surfboards. And we would patch them with fiberglass and resin. But the resin has two parts. There's the resin itself, and then there's a catalyst, which actually turns it into a hard plastic. So without that, it's just some gooey, sticky stuff that you can't get off of anything. But you add the catalyst, and it becomes hard plastic. So if you add the order of the spiritual master, or more particularly adhering to the order of the spiritual master to spiritual life, then you have something that works. Then you have an active spiritual life. So how do you do that? By taking shelter of the spiritual master. And I was thinking how important this is. This is explained a little bit in one section of Srila Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha. He's talking about, and this is my Sharanagati rant. He's talking about Sharanagati. And he says, I'm taking shelter of the Lord as described. Without taking shelter of the Lord, one cannot attain perfection. If one takes shelter of the Lord, then one attains all perfection. This is described in the Garuda Purana. They who, shunning the paths of yoga and meditation, take shelter of the Supreme Personality, cross beyond death and go to the abode of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, one who desires perfection and is able should serve the feet of the spiritual masters who teach the scriptures and mantras glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the mercy of these spiritual masters, one will become free of all impurities and obtain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then there's a quotation from a seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm don't, it's chapter 15, I don't remember exactly the context now. Narada Muni says, by making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. Similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. And by discussing the truth, one should give up fear. By discussing spiritual knowledge, one can conquer lamentation and illusion. By serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. By keeping silent, one can avoid obstacles on the path of mystic yoga. And simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. By good behavior and freedom from envy, one should counteract sufferings due to other living entities. By meditation and trance, one should counteract the sufferings due to providence. And by practicing hatha yoga, pranayama, and so forth, one should counteract the sufferings due to the body and mind. Similarly, by developing the mode of goodness, especially with regard to eating, one should conquer sleep. One must conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by developing the mode of goodness. Then one must become detached from the mode of goodness by promoting oneself to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. And then here's the, I mean, this is like a snowball, right? And then he says, all this can be automatically done if one engages in the service of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the influence of nature. And then Jiva cites, then he cites Lord Krishna himself, who says, when Sudama came to visit him, and they're remembering, Krishna's remembering their boyhood pastimes together when they were buddies, hanging out in the Gurukula. He says, for me, devotion to the spiritual master is more important than devotion to Krishna. If I'm devoted to my spiritual master, then, this is from Padma Purana. Lord Krishna says, this is interesting. This is from some of the Agamas. It says, as an alchemist's touch turns copper into gold, so the spiritual master's touch makes his disciple transcendental like Lord Krishna himself. And then in the 10th canto, when he's talking with Sudama, Krishna says, I, the soul of all beings, cannot be satisfied as much by ritual worship, by generating progeny, by observing penances, or by self-control as I am by faithful service rendered to the spiritual master. So this is the important thing, the essential principle in spiritual life. This is how we make ourselves, available to receive the mercy of the Lord. The Lord comes in his mercy incarnation as the spiritual master, who's a manifestation of Nityananda Balaram. So what kind of service should we render? In Bhakta Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami explains the very beginning of spiritual life. It begins, Guru Parashrayas Tasmat Krishna Dikshari Shikshanam Vishram Bena Guru Seva. He says, we have to take shelter of the Guru. We have to become initiated by the spiritual master and take instructions from him about Bhagavad Dharma. And we have to serve him with Vishrambha. This is a really interesting word, Vishram Bena Guru Seva, which we may not think about enough. Sometimes when Srila Prabhupada was asked about Vishram Bhena Guru Seva, he would say yes with awe and reverence. But when we actually examine the word, we find that it has some different meanings. The Apte Dictionary defines it as trust, confidence, familiar confidence, or perfect intimacy or familiarity. So it's actually kind of an intimate service. There are other places where it's defined, Vishrambha is defined as actually identifying with the other. It's explained a little bit in Ujjvala Nilamani, where Vishrambha is the kind of identity that the residents of Braja, particularly the gopis and gopas, feel for Krishna. And just like I was mentioning last time, Krishna is mine, I am Krishna, Krishna is mine. There's that kind of identity. So we have to serve the spiritual master with such a deep sense of trust. Whatever he says, that's our life. As Prabhupada says, the life and soul of the disciple. And there's just what extent of trust is appropriate is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in one of his commentaries on a Bhagavatam verse. Here's what he says. He says, a devoted and chaste wife, while absorbed in the service of her husband, may ignore even her children. Similarly, a disciple who's deeply absorbed in the service of the guru may even ignore practices such as hearing and chanting, knowing that by his guru seva alone, he can easily attain complete perfection in devotion. And just as a devoted wife ignores her own pleasures and home comforts, so too does a disciple completely absorbed in guru seva ignore even the divine bliss arising out of hearing and chanting. Nor does he seek out the kind of secluded place suitable for such bhajan. So it says the Vedas also proclaim the supremacy of service to the guru. So this is not to denigrate in any way the practices, the different angas of bhakti, but instead it declares boldly, I think, the supremacy of service to the guru over every other anga. Out of all the 64 angas of bhakti, Lord Chaitanya said five are supreme. These five are so powerful that any one of them, any engagement in only one of them, can give you Krishna prema. Sadhu sangha, nam kirtan, bhagavat shravan, maturavas, srimurtira shradhaya siva. Sadhu sangha, associating with devotees, nam kirtan, chanting the holy names, bhagavat shravan, hearing about Krishna, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Mathuravas, spending some time in Mathura or Vrindavan or one of the holy Tirthas, and Srimurtira Shraddhaya Sevan, serving the Murti with the transcendental form of the Lord, the deity, with love and faith. And so this Guru Seva is wrapped up in Sadhu Sangha, and it's also one of the instructions of the spiritual master. The spiritual master will instruct his disciples to take a Sadhu Sangha. By Sadhu Sangha, we don't mean hanging out on Sunday afternoon with the Prabhus in front of the big flat screen, watching the game, drinking near beer, and eating nachos. That's better than hanging out with your cousins and uncles, watching the game, perhaps. Depends on what you end up talking about. Oh, Krishna says he's the ability in man. What a touchdown. Srila Rupa Goswami himself explains. No, actually, I think it's Jiva Goswami explains what Rupa Goswami means by Sadhu Sangha. We find someone who is a Sajatiya and Snigta, and who's a sadhu. Sajatiya means he has a mood similar to ours. Snigta, he's affectionately disposed to us, and he's more advanced than we are. That's Sadhu Sangha. We find devotees who are more advanced than we are, who are affectionately disposed toward us, and who get what we need. They have a similar mood to ours. And that kind of association we should be so hungry for. That's actually the essence of the order of the spiritual master, because in the association of such devotees, we'll always be engaged in carrying out the specific orders of the spiritual master as they are given to us. So this is an important thing. We have to, take shelter of a spiritual master, take initiation from the spiritual master, and serve him with such faith that we absolutely identify with him. We can say, just as we should ultimately see Krishna, I am Krishna and Krishna is mine, we should be able to say, I am the Guru's and he is mine. And we saw that in Srila Prabhupada. He would ask us, oh, so what should I do? Especially at the end. Oh, he was thinking I should want to go over to Parikram. But then he asked us, what do you think? But he did that. He was always looking for someone to give advice, to help him make some of these the many decisions that he made over the years. So we should be able, we should have this kind of intimate love, such confidence that even if By our engagement in following the order of the spiritual master, some aspect of our daily sadhana may be neglected, but we have complete faith that, you know, the spiritual master, he's got me covered. It's like that exercise they do in those workshops, you know. This is the kind of surrender we should have to the spiritual master and to the Lord, where you can just put your arms out, close your eyes, and just fall back without any hesitation at all, and know that you're covered. Vishram Maina Guru Seva. So, mercy incarnation of the Lord, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram and the spiritual master. I have to stop now. And perhaps there's some brief discussion. We had a lot of verses, and I had a few digressions. Tulsi Priya? Who is dear to Tulsi? Krishna Dasi. Tulsi Priya.
When you were talking about associating with devotees or Sadhu Sangha and what it is not, you said maybe that's better than associating with your cousins. I was thinking how I've seen situations where when devotees don't associate appropriately, you know, like, you could be sitting around with your cousins and they're drinking regular beer and you're having a near beer and you're talking about the game and whatever, but you're on your guard.
Mm.
And when you're with devotees and you're doing things that aren't really appropriate and you don't even maybe sandwich it between some kirtan or some Krishna katha, it seems like the stakes are much higher and there's more danger. I've seen it happen several times where people, you know, devotees associate on a completely mundane level, and things go very bad. You know, relationships get destroyed in horrible ways, you know, beyond what would happen with your cousins. And it seems that people are just not on their guard sometimes. They think, oh, it's devotees, and, you know. I compare it to incest. You know, you go and do nonsense with people who are not in the family, not with people who are in the family. Mm. But I don't know what you think about that.
I think it's a good point. I was actually, for some reason, never invited to the watching the big game or watching the boxing match parties. This happens sometimes among friends in San Diego. And maybe they thought I was too busy or thought I was too advanced or maybe just too darn snooty for such a thing. But somehow or other, I was never invited to those, so I didn't really know how they went. But it came to me that this, anyway, although it might be fun to hang out with the guys like that, anyway, that's not what's really meant by sadhu sangha. And we may think, well, I'm associating with devotees. But that's not really what it is. We should find devotees who are more advanced. Because the thing is, if you take a crystal, a clear crystal, it takes on the color of whatever objects it's near. So our hearts should be that clear, as that crystal, and we should put ourselves in proximity to those things or those personalities whose color we would like to take on. Because after all, our lives are meant for progress in spiritual life, and we may think, it's Sunday, I got to go to work tomorrow. I'm just going to hang out with the guys and do such and such. And we're just going to, and, you know, just kind of relax, let our hair down and relax. And besides, you know, I have to go. And I've got all the time. After all, I'm only 40 years old, for crying out loud. Don't press me. You think you've got a few years. We don't know. All we really have is right now. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, forget the past. It sleeps. Nor of the future. Dream at all. But live in times that are with thee in progress, you shall. If we want to make spiritual life, we have to, I don't know, as the Buddhists might say, we have to live in the moment, because that's really all we have. And be attentive to our spiritual life right now. It's a little more urgent, I think, for people my age than for some of the other people in the room, especially people who recently left the room, because we progress, we hear that clock ticking, clock on the wall ticking progressively, ever more loudly. Quick comment, Ram Govinda? I know, it will take It will take long time, but we don't have them. I'm already in trouble.
Thank you for stressing the point of Sadhu Sangha. Even Lord Krishna himself declared or disclosed that he never, in 9th canto, jasam gati aham para, Krishna revealed to Durvasa Muni that I am the possessor of all 6 opulences, but I do not desire to enjoy those without my sadhu.
Yeah, I mean, who does Krishna...
jasam gati aham para, I will never... Siya Aikantiki, very sweet verse those are. And then in that also reference that Naham Tistami Vaikunthe, Yoginam Hridayeshuva, I am not in Vaikuntha, I am not in the heart of the yogi. Why? Tatra Tistami Narada, there I live. Where? Yatra Gayanti Mad Bhakta, where my devotees are not glorifying. Actually, this is Narishi. So here in this case, Satyavrata Muni, Maharaj Bharat, his affection to a deer causes him fall down, apparently. I don't say he fell down. But here, Satyavrata Muni's affection to protect a fish is became a most attractive. Why? Why fish had come? This is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's comment on this also. That because there is a sentiment within Satyavrata Muni that Krishna wants to release, so he appears. Otherwise, King Bharat, he showed the same affection, more or less, for a deer, and it causes a big, gap in his progress in spiritual life. The Prabhupada writes in the last verse that it was intensifying him, but he lamented. He was ready to give up the deer body. But here is this case, Satyavrata Muni. So that's why in this chapter, end of this, there is a Guru Vastaka. There is 8 verses that he prayed. This is in Satyajugato Chakshusha Mannanta. But there is 8 verses here that he prays the origin Guru Vastaka. That same Satyavrata Muni later on who came and composed Namami Saram Satchidananda Rupam. So very sweet how Krishna really... So it is our sentiment Krishna is interested. Not really our affection to animals or others so much. Those are okay, but those are not really what Krishna is attracted.
Bhava-grahi
Janata. By the way, I'll just end this because you are talking about the hand, the cubit, and you're talking glorifying Balaram. So Balaram, when Balaram was in Dwarka, he also met this beautiful, most exotic girl who was looking all over the universe to find a husband. You know the story, marrying Rebuti. So finally could not find. That time she was so tall because she's coming from Satya Yuga and Balaram is in Dapar Yuga. So because he has a power of plow, he pulled her down to make his size so that he could marry her.
Thank you so much. Shri Guru Gauranga Jayataha Shri Madhagatam Ki Jai.